we have
someone here that is going to lead the charge on things that are going on with the Med-Ed system within our area, and all the way out to Pike County, and of course Scott Surgeon, and we also have Rosemary Brown, Representative Brown, who yesterday her and I were at the event. Med-Ed must have had about 25 employees there,
right?
And they answered every question and showed what the plans are. And this just didn't start yesterday. 2013 is when they were making these moves. So Scott, if you don't mind, just take the time.
Wait, before we start, tell everybody who you are.
Scott Surgener with First Energy.
Scott, welcome.
Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, because I went to Second Energy. They suck. First Energy is way better.
That's
you always
right.
go up first.
That's right.
So we're glad that you are here, Scott. Thank you.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
All right.
You.
So what questions are we talking about, and what are we...
Well, I think Scott can explain it, you know, exactly what with the loop system and everything that's being planned to make the service better. And again, it started in 2013. It didn't start because of the two storms that we've had.
Right. This is something that you had been putting into place long before. It wasn't like reactive, it was proactive.
Yeah. Absolutely. It really began right after Hurricane Sandy. We took a look at our system, understood some of the issues we have, and decided to do a lot of engineering work and then some physical work that began 3.5-4 years ago and is going to continue for another 3.5 or 4 years as well.
What are the biggest obstacles you're finding right now?
The obstacle up in this particular area, Monroe and Pike County, is trees.
Right.
So we are much more aggressive in our tree trimming practices along our rights of way. One of the issues we've been dealing with over the past few years is trees that are off of our right-of-way, where we don't have rights to trim those
trees.
So
you don't have the ability to just come in and cut those trees down?
Absolutely.
Is there
correct.
Is there a process that you're putting together, or is there nothing you can do about those trees?
We are. We are working with each of those individual property owners and trying to be more aggressive with those off right-of-way trees that account for 80% of our outages.
Right. Underground utilities, you can't do, right?
7 to 10 times more expensive than overhead.
Right, and we're going to be paying for that.
Customer has to pay for that. You'll have to change your meter point where the electricity comes to your house at your cost. It is not as reliable as overhead. It takes us longer to locate an underground issue and repair it.
It's not like you just get out there. You got to start digging.
Correct.
Right.
So
Who needs that?
It is not the panacea that some believe it may be.
And Scott, can I just throw something in also?
Sure.
Because it's even if you're on the line is fine, your underground is fine, that line is going to go out somewhere. And so a tree could still affect you.
Yeah.
It doesn't,
it's not going to stay underground forever.
It's not going to stay underground forever because I have a community. In my community with PPL, I'm underground, okay? But guess what? I have just as many outages as anyone else because when it leaves the ground, and the tree down the road goes across the line, you still got the same problems. So there's no guarantees. At the same time, you're paying 7 to 10% more.
You get tired of answering the same questions over and over again?
No. It's an educational process, and I think every customer who has a question has the right to ask that and get an answer for it.
Well, they picked the right guy with you, man. I would have never said that. I was tired of this crap. God bless you, Scott. You're a good guy. Scott with First Energy. Substations. I'm not familiar. Is that a big, are we fixing a lot of those and moving those, or what's the problem with them?
Actually, our substations in Monroe and Pike County are in very good shape.
Okay.
They have extra capacity in them still that we can put additional customers on them. We have plenty of substations in this area. We've got about 24 that spread out throughout Monroe and Pike counties.
The last storm that we had, I think people were having a tough time, or workers were having a tough time getting to the substations.
The problem we have, again, in this area is, you know, trees that close the roads.
Right.
And until we can get back to our equipment, we spend as much time trimming trees, cutting trees off
just
the roads,
just getting
roads
to where the problem is.
Absolutely.
So is that being addressed?
It is. We are working with each of the municipalities in Monroe and Pike County, as well as both counties, additional counties as well, to clear those roads as quickly and expeditiously as possible. But it's got to be a safety process, too. There could be wires down, so that's why we've got to clear those trees and get the roads open and work with the county offices of emergency management and municipalities.
Now, even though all this stuff has been done, we get another storm, there's still stuff that's going to happen, right?
Surely.
Yeah.
Surely.
It's not. It's because people hear about it and they want a perfect fix, but
it's
never right.
You cannot weatherproof an electric system.
I keep telling my wife that. Kind of lights go out, but she just she stares at me funny.
And then there's that.
Scott from First Energy. You guys, well, it's your show.
I know.
I'm hogging
you took it over. I love
Rosemary Brown. State Representative Rosemary Brown is here.
So formal.
All right.
So
dressed
formal.
Nice today. What the heck's the occasion?
She always dresses nice.
I know. Well, I you know, one of these days I'm going to show up, you know, in my pajamas here. That's
like me?
Excited, you know, just relax. Yes.
Well, we won't be complaining.
No. As a matter of fact, we have Pajama Tuesday.
Yeah.
And you're more than welcome.
Do
to
you?
Go to Scott.
Do you?
Look, at Scott
that's
got
nice.
Excited for a
we
second.
Yeah, be nice, right? Relax.
Is there anything that, because Pike County gets hammered, that's your area.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's a lot of outages up in Bushkill and that whole area through there. Stuff that you want to talk about? Or?
No, I think that, you know, the customers have a lot of questions, and so that's why last night they were gracious enough to come in and really set up a very large educational event for the customers. I think the education process and how everything works is so important because the storms are very different than they've ever been. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think the understanding of how they react and how they assess and how many linemen are coming in is really important because you see the trucks, but you don't necessarily always see them right outside your door doing the work. But they are doing the work further down the lines or wherever else they may be, need to be. But Mario and I were just talking a little bit about the loop system, and maybe you want to just talk a little bit about that.
What's going to happen or what is occurring is we are putting in 31 switches that are remotely controlled, operated by radio signal. We can push a button in our Reading Distribution Control Center, and we're then able to tie circuits together through these new switches that are being installed, where once we didn't have the capability to take a circuit that has 500 customers on it and swap it to another source of electricity, we now have that capability. And we'll have additional capability to do that with additional customers going forward as we complete this work over the next 3 to 4 years.
That's great.
Yeah, that's huge.
I've got a remote from my garage door on my car.
Okay. Well, because, you know,
I always wanted to have the neighbor's garage door opener. I thought that'd be a lot more fun, you know, just opening and closing in the middle of the night. Well,
can I just wanted to follow up on that.
Okay.
And I, from what I understand, also you're working on agreements with PPL that you can, let's say, for example, they have a line and you can tap into theirs to put it.
Really?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Each of the utilities that are neighboring utilities, uh-huh. wherever they have service territory,
right.
We do try to do that. We are working with PPL. That also began right after Hurricane Sandy, when all the utilities in Pennsylvania began a round table, if you will, of best practices and the things that we can do together to quickly restore electricity when it does go out, much better for every customer, not just a MedEd customer or a PP&L customer.
You know, I have to say this, and I don't know if you can work on this. There's a shopping center in Bartonsville and a hotel there. Now, PPL is right there, and your lines are coming from. Is there any way there? Because when that goes out, and usually it's a while, you know, you got a tremendous amount of loss within that supermarket and all. So if the poles are right there. I don't know.
Mario gets his meats like from there, and if his meat delivery gets interrupted, he gets very upset. Yeah, Scott?
I'm not aware of that particular instance, but I will take that back and get an answer for you.
I appreciate that.
I'm taking a break.
Yeah, we got to take a break.
Right.
I'm sorry, Rosie.
No worries.
Hold that thought for
I'll
just a
it.
Second. What?
I don't want any, those freebies. You know, we got to stay right, get a little music, and get back to work. This is a 30-minute show, and I don't want to get taken by any commercials.
All right. We're going to cut the alcohol that Mario has in his coffee.
Right.
And we'll
there you go.
A short
all
break,
right.
And we'll be right back.
All right.
Mario lost his phone because he put it on top of his car. And he got in the car and he took off. But he went back to the place where he knew he made a turn. And he thought, and he found it. Some kid was picking it up. And he paid him $20. I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to follow him forever. Make money off his phone. I'm just going to keep taking his phone. Scott's here from First Energy. We're talking about the event that happened last night. We're talking about the loop system. We're talking about a lot of stuff. Mario had something else. And Rosemary, actually, you have the floor, State Rep.
Oh, okay.
Because you were asking a question before we went to break. Yes.
Well, I just wanted to verify with Scott, because I think, you know, you often hear that people say, well, with all the technology and everything that we have, why can't we do certain things? So when you talk about the loop system and this new technology on how we can hook people back in. So are we still like in the process, right, of building that loop system? So like, what can they really expect?
What customers can expect, and most customers that are impacted in these two counties, Monroe and Pike, that we're talking about, our work will be completed in this area within the next 2.5 to 3 years. Now, what we've done is we're going to spend at MedEd about $250 million this year maintaining our system. And in addition to that, part of that $250 million contains what we're calling a long-term infrastructure improvement program, which is another, you know, $10 to $20 million annually. This area represents only 7% of our customer base.
Wow.
We are spending 25% of the money, the additional money, in this particular area. And that's going to continue because this is an area where we want to get customers restored quicker. We want to tie the system together better so that we can remotely, again, without having to send a lineman somewhere, we can remotely turn those customers back in, get their lights back on a lot quicker than it is with sending a line worker somewhere.
No, that's great. And I think that that's where, you know, people understand that it's under the process and we're moving forward to use a new technology.
But it's not going to be completed for another couple of years.
Yeah, totally. But at least it's moving in the right direction.
Correct. You know? That is correct.
And I think the other thing that you hear people say, too, is it's two questions, Mario.
That's quite all right.
It's quite all right.
Rosemary checking with Mario if it's okay to have another question.
I'm getting a look. Okay.
No, she'll hit me,
I feel
she'll
the look
me
over
back in the head. She goes like this to me.
You're going to have to show me. Ow. What the hell's wrong with you?
I keep them under control. So, no, but, you know, you'll hear people say, well, PP&L has so many linemen out. You know, where's First Energy's, you know, linemen? And I think from what my knowledge is that when linemen are called to the area, it's called together, basically, for all the companies. Maybe you could just quickly touch base on that, because I think there's a little confusion there.
There is mutual assistance that we get when we have a storm. Major event, and during the March nor'easters in particular, we had between 600 and 900 extra line workers in this particular area, Monroe and Pike counties. You'll see a lot of our line workers, a lot of our mutual assistance groups in areas that are not real accessible to the public. We serve more of a rural population in Monroe and Pike County than does PP&L. They've got more of the suburban area, so it's easier to see their trucks. Ours are out back into the woods, into the wooded areas, doing the work. So you may not see those trucks, but those guys are out there. And we did bring in that additional 600 to 900 line workers and utilize them for several days to restore service. And we do cooperate, both utilities, PP&L and MedEd, and even Philadelphia Electric PECO, down into the Bucks County, Northampton County areas during a storm.
Okay. Thank you.
Mario?
You know, and he mentioned working in the woods. Getting there is another story. You get a snowstorm, and now you're pretty much plowing before you get in there. And
well, we were talking about the fact getting to the substations just was the toughest part. Now, First Energy, right? First
Energy is the owning company of MedEd and 9 other utilities like MedEd spread out in 5 states.
Okay. So what other states are you guys in?
Ohio, West Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey.
Okay. You get a lot of complaints from Jersey? I'm from Jersey. I know how they complain. Yes. No matter what's wrong.
But again,
I'm from Passaic. Do you have one of those switches I can shut some of my relatives' stuff on and off, just screw with them for a little bit?
We're going to install those.
Yeah, nice. I like him. You can bring him anytime. All right, Scott is here. He's from First Energy, MedEd, and we're talking about the meeting that they had last night.
Right.
Where was the meeting?
It was up at the Innovation Center at the
over
ESU.
For ESU, yeah. Yes. Over
and later on today, the House Republican Policy Committee is holding a hearing on exactly with just
all
utilities and the
response time
and everything.
All right, we go to the phones because people are interested. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. In defense of the line workers that we can't see, I've had personal experience where they have staged a helicopter in a parking lot and flown the men into the woods to repair the lines that were taken down by trees.
Wow.
A mile into the woods. And I got to give these guys their props because it's not what you see that really gets the job done. It's the work they do that no one can see, that gets the power on to the substations and to the distribution points in the neighborhoods. Just because the trucks aren't on your street doesn't mean they're not working.
Scott.
There you go.
Absolutely
and
correct.
And that's all I want to say.
All right, thanks. Thanks for the
Thank
call.
Thank you. He's absolutely correct. And I have some great pictures, especially from the March storms, where I've got pictures of 20 or 30 of our guys, 10 of them carrying chainsaws, walking back a road to get to some of our lines that were down. And then several hours later, they had to actually climb the poles. We couldn't get the bucket trucks in there, but we had five or six poles in a row that had two linemen each up on the pole, and each pole working on those lines to restore that service. And it's an interesting picture when you think we are in the 21st century, but it does take physical labor to go do some of that work.
Sure. Push a button, everything gets fixed. Let me ask you something about the trees
element.
The trees that are not on your right-of-way area. What is the process for that? Say somebody's got a tree. Do you have to go, do you knock on their door and say, hey, we're going to cut a few limbs down? What, how does that work?
We do. We trim on a five-year cycle, essentially, with spot trimming in between. We typically, in this area, spend about $800,000 a year on tree trimming.
Wow.
Med-Ed overall spends $10 to $15 million a year. This year, we're going to spend $24 million. $2.3 million of that is going to be spent up in Monroe and Pike counties. We're getting much more aggressive, spending much more money on tree trimming. It does, though, involve knocking on a door, asking a property owner for permission to trim those.
Out in the middle of in Pennsylvania, which is not easy to do. Because, you know, you get greeted
at
the door.
Don't touch my tree.
Hey, what? Get off my property.
Exactly.
Yeah, so do you get that?
Most are very cooperative.
Yeah, most
they
understand.
Because they're impacted by that tree coming down as well.
Yeah. But some people are like, you know.
There are some that will not like
it. Hey, city boy, get the heck off. I heard you on the Gary in the Morning show. You're that Scott guy. Get off my property.
But people have to try to help as much as they can, Gary. I think that's the thing, is as much as they can to really, you know, work with the company so that they can avoid stuff and help out, you know, as a team.
And even with all the trimming, you know what? You can't control when trees start falling.
Right.
And they went down like dominoes.
So what are we looking at? Well, you know, it was one of the very unique storm. There was a lot of, with the most recent one, there was a lot of rain, so there was a lot of uprooting, not even just the snowstorm that we got before that, you know, so... it was very unique. What can we look forward to? Is it just going to be less time for outages, easier to repair? What are we looking forward to in 2 years when this is complete?
Several things are going to go into that work that we're doing. Number one, by sectionalizing and putting switches in like we are doing, we'll be able to flip a switch or remotely control that switch. That outage will then impact less or fewer customers than it does today.
Is that involved with the fact that, you know, because when your guys go out to places, they've got to check to make sure all the power's down so that they don't touch any lines that are live. So is that what that's involved with?
That's going to help
because
as well.
Because that takes up a lot of the time, you know?
And safety's paramount in everything we do.
Sure.
We want everybody to be safe.
All right.
The other thing is, it is going to allow quicker restoration times. Again, we don't have to send a line truck somewhere, have a guy climb a pole, whatever it may be, if we can hit that radio-controlled or remote-controlled switch from our Reading offices. In addition, it will allow us, especially with the smart meters that we're installing, will allow us to get a quicker read on what customers are actually out and what customers are not out. Our outage management system, the thing that predicts what's wrong when we do have an outage, it works much better when every customer calls and reports that outage. Most customers don't do that, though.
Right.
They assume their neighbor has called.
Well, what I do is I check to see if the neighbor's lights are out first, and if it's just me.
Well, you should always call in an outage. Anybody who's experiencing an outage should call that in to MedEd. Again, the outage management system works much better with the more information it has. But with a smart meter, we'll be able to ping that meter and see if it responds. If
so
it
it's
responds,
important. So
service.
You're not annoying. You're not. Nobody else has checked in first. Call in immediately.
Absolutely.
That's great. Scott's our special guest for First Energy, also associated with MedEd. State Representative Rosemary Brown is here. You should dress like that. She's beautiful. You should wear a dress.
I've been down that road.
Oh, what? You look nice. He's
worn a dress.
On.
Is
he
that what he's
good.
Talking about? And it's Mario Live. If you have any questions or you want to talk to anybody in the studio, 570-420-9670. We'll take a short break. We're doing a break, Mario.
I'll give you permission this time.
Thank you. And we'll be right back.
You weren't listening anyway, so what's
the difference?
Are you there?
I'm here, yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. First Energy said that we should call when there's a power out, but sometimes the cell phone towers are out, so we can't even make a call to let you guys know, unless, you know, we get down to town or whatever. But I just wanted to mention that I actually have PTSD as a result of the storms. I'm a tough woman, Gary. I've been through a lot. But, you know, actually you have random time where you have dead air on your radio station.
I can't imagine that.
But as soon as that happens, the first thing I do is look up to see if my clocks are working.
Yeah.
Because last time I was out 8 days, and it gets really rough, you know, especially when you're trying to go to work and, you know, you worry about pipes freezing and your pets, and it's just...
There's a lot of worry that comes with this.
It's a very scary thing. And then the long lines at the gas stations, it feels like it's World War III, you know?
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm a tough woman, but the power outages just really take its toll on me. I'm going to have to save up for a generator, basically. But, yeah, your dead airtime really messes me up. I don't know why you do that on the station.
Well, here's the problem. Let me address that first, and then they can talk about it. We got a squirrel that runs on a wheel.
Yeah.
And every so often, we run out of nuts.
Right.
And,
oh, okay. All right? Like me.
but we're not like MedEd and First Energy. You got $25 million to put into this, but they're however much it is.
You know.
Mario?
You know what I was going to say is when you're here, we have the dead air. Otherwise, we're in good shape.
Yeah, there you
last
go.
Week, was, did you have any dead air at all last week? You didn't, right? Tell the truth. There's no dead air at all last week.
See? I was away. I didn't care.
Well, that's why we didn't have any dead air.
Oh, okay.
But that triggers me to think that there's a power out.
So I have to apologize to Scott for all the crazy calls because sorry, Scott.
The first thing I do is look at the clock.
Yeah.
Is there power, you know?
Oh, God.
So anyway, yeah, I know it's a rough thing. We get a lot of rain and these trees are growing like crazy. I know you guys are working really hard.
I think...
Yeah, as far as the calling, you know, we don't get the power sometimes, so we can't make the call.
I think if we attach some cables to you, you could power a small village.
I know.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you, Dale.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Is there anything in there that you wanted to address, Scott?
We don't control the cell towers, and I do know that during the March storms, we did have some issues with the cell providers in this area.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
Once again, they're under the same problems that you guys are.
Absolutely.
Well, they ran out of gas, and they couldn't get it up there because some person declared an emergency. And when you're in a state of emergency, you can't be on the road with either gas, any flammables. And so that was one. And we had
it triggered
the whole thing. So,
oh, really?
And up in Barrett, for example, they ran out of gas. And so they couldn't get the gas there.
Because it was a declaration of state of emergency.
So we had it pulled, but he's got to think about it before the governor makes those decisions.
All right. Scott is our special guest for First Energy MedEd. We got other people calling in. We'll get to the. You know what? I've got a question that I have to ask because I promised a fireman.
Mm-hmm.
That I was going to get this on the air.
Okay.
Some townships in Monroe County offer tax incentives for individuals who are volunteer firefighters.
Mm-hmm.
How can we get all townships to offer this? Local fire departments need volunteers. Their members are getting older and fewer.
You know, you got it. My recommendation for the firefighters to go and meet with the elected officials. And, you know, that's number one safety. You know, when a fireman volunteers, it's not like any other thing that you volunteer for.
Because right.
You don't schedule your volunteer time.
Right.
You're having a barbecue in the backyard, and all of a sudden, boom, a fire, and you're running out there. And you're not running out there just to volunteer, but you're putting your life on the line every time you go to a fire.
Sure.
So if some of these municipalities, you know, try to do some incentives, I think it'd be great for them.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, at the state level, there are some things that we've done. Yeah. There's an insurance now that's available to the fire. And that was worked through the Department of the Fire Department, and that they can get workman's comp, for example. God forbid they get hurt at home, they're included. There's an incentive there for a scholarship for their children. We're starting to put some things out there as well. But that option is there for the local municipality.
So they should go see their local officials.
Yeah, because they're the ones that, you know, really control that purse string.
Well, I think what happens is you get, like, we don't like to mandate too much from the state.
Yeah.
But I think, like Mario said, you know, I'm on the Emergency Preparedness Committee, but they are definitely looking at a lot of options for little benefits here and there that will add up for volunteer firefighters. So even someone mentioned to me the other day, even a vehicle registration, like, you know, giving that as free for volunteer firefighters. Right. Doing all these little things.
There should be incentives.
Yeah, there really should be.
Because it's a necessity that we can't do without.
Could we plan?
And we would have to tax tremendously to have a paid force.
You're right.
In the near future, could we come together with some of the local firefighter officials and elected officials, including you guys, and plan a meeting where we can discuss what are our options face-to-face with some of these firefighters?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, there's not one... Rosemary's on the committee, and I know that anything that's in front of us that can help a volunteer firefighter, we're out there with. Because, like Rosemary stated earlier, if you didn't have them and you had to have a paid force, you want to talk about raising taxes?
It's an
incredible course.
And it's hard because I think, you know, this is on top of their job or, you know, and now if we have a commuter population, it's just tough with families and things. Every fire company is saying they need more volunteers. So it's critical to us. So I think anything we can do at the state level would, as far as all little benefits, we are looking at that. And I would absolutely take any suggestions of additional things as well.
Okay.
But I think it should start with the firefighters actually meeting, you know, don't do it at a meeting. Do it one-on-one with the municipal agency.
Make a plan,
sit down with them and say, guys, this is what we're experiencing.
We're proposing and here's what we're thinking. And
see if you can help us out. Right. You know? Right. Because a lot of these guys have to do fundraising as well. You got to call. Take the call because that phone's been ringing off the hook.
I'm not the one talking.
I know.
Okay, wow.
You're on the air with Mario, Rosemary, and Scott.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
A comment from Mario.
Sure.
And understand, I love you and respect you, but you're falling real short. You're disappointing me about these roads in the area.
Where are you? What are you talking about? What roads? Which ones?
Speeding in Stroudsburg.
Stroudsburg.
I used to be able to drive down Ann Street at 60, 70 miles an hour, and now, since they've turned it into a dirt road and use it as a trail, I can't do that anymore.
So you're mad because you can't and break the law.
You know what I'm afraid of? We're paving the Main Street and parts of 611 through Stroudsburg. That doesn't happen.
All right, thank you for the call. Hi, you're on there with Mario and Rosemary.
Gary. Good morning, Mario, everybody. Hey, my oldest.
Hello, Angry Elvis.
Hello.
I got a question for Rosemary and for Mario, and it has to do a little bit with the electric problem.
Okay.
What's being done about the price gouging at the gas stations and the hotels and everything during the outages? Because the last outage we had, there's only one gas station with power, which was the station over by the Pocono Medical Center, and I paid $75 for 10 gallons worth of gas to keep my generator running.
Wow.
Right next.
That's kind of ridiculous. And when I wanted to put my wife and her service dog in a hotel, all the local hotels jacked their prices up for their overnight stay. And I was told I had to give a $300 dog deposit for my wife's service dog, which is against federal law because service dogs are not supposed to be charged or anything.
Right. Exactly.
I mean,
right.
You know, I could see a $50 or $75, $100 deposit for a dog, and then they go in and inspect the room, and the dog didn't do anything, you get your deposit back. But come on, that's a lot of gouging, and it takes a lot out of people's pockets, especially with the way the gas tax is up there in Pennsylvania. Yeah. You pay $3 a gallon for gas, and when the power goes out, it triples at the gas stations.
All right.
Elvis, thank you for the call.
Just one comment. Just, you know, and anybody listening, if you know any businesses that's doing that, first of all, let us know. Secondly, if somebody did that and you know it, don't go to them when things are good. You know, that's how you wake them up. You know, that's how you do it. If a gasoline station did that, raised their rates like that, just don't frequent them and let your friends know. Look at what they did.
7:31. I want to thank our guests for being on the air. Mario Show live. What's the matter?
Are you going to let us go?
Yeah, it's all done.
Thank you for coming.
When Drew Carey gets to the end of The Price is Right, he doesn't go, well, we still haven't done the showcase. We need to go into the next feature. But,
I go back to Bob Barker.
I go back to Bob Barker. Well, remember to spay and neuter your pets. Okay. Scott, you've been wonderful.
Thank you for having me.
First Energy and MedEd. Rosemary, always a pleasure to see you.
Always a pleasure. Good morning.
Stop more often.
Yeah.
We like our guests with hair. And
Listen.
Yes, Mary.
There was a question that was asked, and we didn't get a chance to answer it. And the real ID will be, you can start applying for it spring of 2019.
All right.
But you won't have to worry about it until the approximately October 1st, 2020.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
732.
That's when it's going to start.
The show brought to us by Lehigh Valley Pocono, part of the Lehigh Valley Health Network.